If you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, the eighth chapter. The eighth chapter of the book of Acts. And I'm not gonna preach long, but I am gonna have to sit down, okay? Just bear with me on that. In the eighth chapter of the book of Acts, there's the story where Philip baptizes a guy out in the desert. And that's what I want us to look at today. It's the story of Philip baptizing the eunuch in the desert. So Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and he went, and he beheld a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of her treasury. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit of said to Philip, "Go near and overtake his chariot." So Philip ran to him, and he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And he said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and to sit with him. And the place in the scripture which he read was this, and this is coming from Isaiah. "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I asked you, of whom does this prophet say this? Of himself or of someone other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Here, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all of your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he communicated with the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now I want you to use your imagination here for a moment. This was before there was any such movie of Back to the Future, but God takes Philip, who was a follower of Christ, and he sends him out on a desert road to find a specific person. We don't even know the eunuch's name. But imagine, if you will, here out in the middle of the desert, there's a chariot going along, and chariots were pulled by horses, and there was probably a driver of the chariot, because if the eunuch is reading, how could he drive the chariot while he's reading? But anyway, there was probably at least a driver, maybe even someone else. And imagine, if you will, Philip is running up alongside of this chariot. And he's probably, I just imagine he's jogging along there, and you know, the chariot's on one side. And he looks over and he says, "Hey man, what you reading?" "Well, I'm reading this from the prophet Isaiah." Now this was before a time when everybody didn't have a copy of God's word, so somehow he had a scroll, which they were written on back in that time. He had a scroll of the prophet Isaiah, which we know is the book of Isaiah. And he's trying to read it, and And, you know, maybe he didn't understand the language. Maybe he didn't understand, you know, the wording, the terminology that was used. I mean, sometimes we all read God's word and we say, I didn't understand that. And so he says, how can I understand unless someone guides me? So they stop the chariot. Philip gets in and he begins to read from the book of Isaiah. And he's reading it to them. They're still riding down the road. And the guy's listening to Philip as he is teaching and speaking to him. And then this guy, the eunuch, goes, well, who's he talking about? Is he talking about himself or someone else? That's when Philip begins to preach Jesus to him in saying, because that scripture verse is talking about from Isaiah, it's foretelling about Jesus. So here's Philip. He's preaching to the guy and he's telling him about Jesus. And I'm sure, you know, this didn't happen in just a couple of minutes. This was a long process. And so then the Ethiopian eunuch says, well, here's some water. Now, you got to remember, in a desert, there's not usually water. So maybe it was a pool of water. Maybe it was a stream. Maybe it was a river. We don't know that. But he says, here's some water. Why can't I be baptized? And so they get out of the chariot. Philip baptizes him right there on the side of the road. And then all of a sudden, Philip is transported to another place, back to the future, so to speak. You see, God moved him through the Spirit, moved him to this other place. We hear nothing else about the eunuch other than he went away, he went on his way rejoicing. Now, I want to talk about baptism a minute. In the book of Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 18 and 19, Jesus said before he departed, go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So here's Philip. He's telling this Ethiopian, basically he probably told him what, you know, Jesus had said, even though it had not been recorded and written at that point. He told him what Jesus had said. So here was Philip going to someone who wasn't a Jew, wasn't from Judah or Israel, and he finds this Ethiopian and he tells him about Jesus and he accepts Jesus Christ. Now, in church, in Christian church, baptism is a symbol that shows that we have buried our old life in Christ. We're coming up to live a new life in Christ. We're going to live for Christ. In other words, it's a symbol to the world, to the church, that that person is a Christian. Now, you could say, well, aren't you supposed to be baptized in a church? They weren't in a church. They weren't in a synagogue. They weren't in a temple. They were on the side of the road in the desert. Now, I have, over my years in the ministry, I have baptized in various different ways and forms. I've baptized in swimming pools. Say, well, is that really accepted? Yes, it is. I mean, it's not that, you know, you're in a swimming pool. It's that you have the water there available. I have baptized in swimming pools. I have baptized in ponds. And cows are standing there in the pond watching. And, you know, this might sound a little gross, but when you step in, you go, I don't think that was mud. But, you know, you still baptize. It's still valid. It's still good. I baptized in rivers, and that's a little better than doing it in a pond, but I baptized in rivers. You just got to look out for snakes and other critters, but I baptized there. In India one time, we were in a remote area of India, and we were supposed to do a baptism. By the time we got there, it was dark, and the only place we had to baptize was in a river. Now, if you know anything about India, one of the filthiest rivers in the world is in India. The second filthiest river is in India, and that's the river we were going to baptize in. It was pouring down raining, and it was dark. And so we wade out, and when we get about 8 inches out, 8 inches deep, our host pastor said, that's far enough. And I go, we can't baptize in 8 inches of water. He said, that's far enough. And I made a joke, and I said, what, are we afraid of alligators? He said, no, snakes, very poisonous snakes. Okay, we just lay them down, we'll splash water on them. Was that valid? Absolutely. Because it was the spirit in which we were doing it. It was not like we were trying to, you know, avoid the snake so much. It was the spirit of baptizing. Yes, it was still valid. In another river in India, the host pastor said, you know, traditionally we let them back, raise them up. He said, you dunk them down three times. What? What do you mean, dunk them down three times? And you literally push them down three times in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. And I thought, never done it that way before, but we'll do it. Well, this particular woman, she had being an Indian, she had a piercing in her nose. And I pulled her piercing out of her nose accidentally. It was still valid because she trusted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. I've even baptized in the Arctic Ocean when I lived in Alaska. A young teenager that was 18 years old wanted to be baptized. Our baptistry was broke. It would not hold water. I said, it's cold. It's already snowing. It was September. He said, I'm an Eskimo. I can do it. I said, well, if you can do it, I'll do it. I had a thermometer on my boot. I was not wearing waders. I was just wearing regular clothes. I had a thermometer on my boot. It was snowing. There was a large crowd of people standing there on the road watching us. And I baptized this kid. He's wearing shorts and no shirt. And when he came up, first of all, he locked his knees and he pulled me under. You can't lock your knees. You will pull the pastor under. So he pulls me under. The water temperature was 49 degrees. The air temperature was 29 degrees. And I heard someone on the shore say, dumb Malachny. And I said, what does that mean? They said, dumb white man. It was cold, but was it valid? That kid came up out of that water and he was screaming and shouting to the top of his lungs, my name is Glenn McConnell. I just got baptized for Jesus in the Arctic Ocean. He was so excited that he was being baptized. That same kid, a little while, a week or two later, he said, Pastor, can I have a Bible? And I said, yes, I had a few new Bibles yet. Could only give a new Bible. They would not take a used one because it belonged to a dead person, so they believed. So I gave him a new Bible. The next day he called and he said, can I have another Bible? I said, what's wrong? He said, my dad threw the Bible away. I said, well, you know, I've only got a limited supply of Bibles right now, but I'll bring you another one. I go to his house. He comes running down. His house was built up on kind of stilts. He comes running down the stairs and he's screaming and he's smiling from ear to ear. I found it. I found my Bible. And he's holding it up and he's shouting because he's so excited. I said, great. Where did you find it? He said, my dad threw it in the dumpster. It's covered with dog poop, but it still works. How many of you, if your Bible got dog poop on it, you're going to still use it? Guess what? It was covered in blood 2,000 plus years ago, and it still works. It still works. But this guy was so excited. His Bible, he found his Bible. That's another true sign that he truly trusted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. The first person that I baptized in Alaska, when we realized the baptistry wouldn't hold water, the heating element, which was just like the one we have here, we've taken the heating element out for this baptism. But anyway, it blew up. It wouldn't work. You ever tried heating 500 gallons of water in the wintertime on a stove? It was still cold by the time we got her in there. Our house was attached to the church. I said, Terry will be here. There's the restrooms. If you need to change, there wasn't but just a few of us in the church. I said, I'm going to the house. I'll change clothes. I'll be back. When I came back in and I came through the doors, I honestly thought, you can ask Terry, I honestly thought it was a different person talking to Terry. She had a radiant glow about her, almost angelic. I'm not saying she was an angel, but she had this angelic glow about her. And when she got ready to leave, now when she came in, she had that long black hair. She had a beautiful, gorgeous hair barrette. Terry's got some. She pulled some out the other day. I was going to bring one and show you today because it's so beautiful. She had that hair barrette. She had on looked like a fairly new pair of boots. She had on other clothes. And when she got ready to leave, she had all of her wet clothes in the bag. And I said, "Don't forget your clothes." And she said, "Oh no, I came in here a sinful woman. That represents my old life. I got an old set of clothes. Those are old set of clothes. I got a new set of clothes because I got a new heart, a new Jesus. You can throw that stuff away." And the hair barrette was in there. I threw it away. Never seen that before. Now I asked Heather if she wanted to do that, and they said, "No, maybe we better not do that," and that's okay. But you know, in each of those cases, was the baptism still valid? Of course it was. Now, I know preachers that would say, "Well, only the preacher can baptize someone." That's not in God's word either. But several times in my ministry over the years, I've had a deacon that maybe a son or a daughter was getting baptized. I'd say, "Hey, why don't you do the baptism? Because it makes it special." You know, I asked Heather, I said, "Are you afraid of going underwater?" She said, "Well, yeah, but I want to do this." I said, "Well, your father thinks you are the jewel in his eye, and he's not going to let you get hurt." And that's the thing. God, we are God's jewels, and he's not going to let us get hurt. But he's going to worship with us. He's going to celebrate with us. He's going to have a great time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for giving us the example of baptism. You followed it with Jesus. You started it with Jesus. We've seen it with Philip in the... We've seen it with others in the Bible. We've seen it throughout our lives. And hopefully every person in this room that's a Christian knows you as Lord and Savior. Father, I pray that you will be glorified as we celebrate together. And Lord, as we stand and sing for a moment, I pray that if there's someone here who's never trusted you as Lord and Savior, today is a good day to do it. And if someone here, Lord, says, "Lord, I trusted you, but I've never followed through with baptism," today's a good day to say, "I'm willing to do it." Not necessarily they do it today, but whenever they're ready. Father, I pray that you will just bless this baptism in a special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.